music radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on the TV. They give me the news, they give half truths to me. They give us wives, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Oh. All right. Sorry about that. Just reaching over to grab one of my favorite publications, and of course that's the Barnes Review. And the reason I have the Barnes Review in front of me is because I'm looking back when he was the editor of the Barnes Review, and Matt Johnson, M. Raphael Johnson, had some very fascinating, thoroughly researched, and totally documented, in my view, articles in this fine publication. And good evening to you, Matt Johnson.
Thanks, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. I'm glad we managed to get on, and so far without a hitch.
Well, it's good to have you. It might be the first time.
It might be. It might be. The devil is working, you know, to try to silence this voice and this network. And we're. I don't care who's behind anything. I'm just saying that forces of the devil certainly would like to keep me off, and there's no question would like to keep you off too. And you have a website that is a very interesting, very fascinating website, RussJournal.com, right?
Yeah, it's a web journal. It is peer reviewed, and it's pretty much my public face these days. And that's pretty much all I'm really writing for. I'm writing for a few other publications here and there.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching and writing for that are my full-time occupation these days.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a PhD, and you have a tremendous articulateness, which I've admired. Your ability to recall facts in history is one of the best that I can think of, and I'm very pleased at that. And if you don't mind, I'd like to go back to, I think, an excellent, superb article that you wrote in the Barnes Review, and that was The Tragedy of Rudolf Hess. What manner of man was he? And this goes back a little bit in the Barnes Review. It goes back to 2001, in fact. And I thought that was an absolutely superb article from a truly historical perspective, Matt.
Well, that was one of these articles. Mike Piper had asked me to write it. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to write it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reluctant only because mm-hmm. I'm certainly no expert in German stuff. And but I read Hess's prison diaries,
mm-hmm.
and there's so many problems and questions with his mission to England,
mm-hmm.
and what sort of a person was he ideologically?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the reasons that Barnes Review readers were interested in Rudolf Hess is because they got the impression that he was almost on the left wing of the National Socialist Party and was far more humane than Hitler was, and he had a very mm-hmm. different view of what National Socialism was going to be and
mm-hmm.
or what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But his views never had the opportunity to be developed because his public life was cut short, as you well know.
Well, as a matter of fact, when we come back from the break, we can talk a little bit about that, only because I just find it fascinating that this is one among many, many tidbits of history, the history of World War One and Two, that most Americans will never, unfortunately, get a true eyeful of. They've been brainwashed and they've been conditioned to accept mythology, as you put it. And so when we come back, I want to discuss a little bit of that, and we'll get into your website and much more. Those who want to speak to Matt Johnson, get on the line now, 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625. Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Okay, we're back now. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of talk radio, only on RBN, the Republic Broadcast Network. And with me is Dr. Matt Johnson. And Matt, in that article that you wrote several years back in the Barnes Review, you had said quite obviously the purpose of the essay was not to provide details of Rudolf Hess's flight to England, but rather to explore the character of the man who was condemned for so-called war crimes committed while sitting in prison for the duration of the war. And as you point out, his letters in the 40s from England before Nuremberg showed a jovial countenance, one almost without worry concerning his conditions. Rudolf Hess was kept in prison, really, for a reason, and not the reason that we were given. Was that true or not?
Well, I think he was an embarrassment to the Allies.
Uh-huh.
It's clear proof that the party wanted peace with England so as to give the Germans a free hand in the Soviet Union, which was by far Hitler's most important question and issue. I'm not so sure he had a huge problem with the English. He certainly had a problem with liberal democracy and bourgeois capitalism. He said so many times. But, you know, his primary concern was to eliminate the Stalinist threat in the East. Rudolf Hess was a major part of that. And I think the fact that Churchill wouldn't even listen to him and threw him in prison. And at least according to most the historians, died, you know, fairly recently after spending a lifetime in prison, where he wasn't permitted to read newspapers or have any contact with the outside
world. No access to the outside world. Isn't that amazing?
Whatsoever. Well, he was given newspapers, but articles concerning Germany or European politics were cut out of it. So he could read sports, and he could read weather, and he could read the horoscope. But anything significant, he was not permitted to read.
It sounds almost like the American audiences today, what they're permitted to know and not to know.
Well, it's true. And you know who else it reminds me of a little bit is Milosevic. It's a similar situation in that Milosevic had embarrassed the system.
Yeah.
He had proven the tribunal incorrect, and he died under very mysterious circumstances. And I have an article out saying that he was murdered, and evidence that he was murdered. And it's an interesting parallel. I think they're very similar cases.
Well, it's interesting to note that Churchill had heaped so much praise originally on Hitler for the dramatic turnaround that Germany had experienced after World War One, and the fact that the National Socialist Party did in fact embrace a number of policies that, whether like it or not, were responsible for a dramatic, incredible recovery in Germany. And remember, now, Germany was saddled with an incredible debt, a wartime debt. What was it, $32 billion or something like that? Following World War I?
It was more than the country was worth.
I mean, it's outrageous. That's like handing America a bill for like $80 trillion.
Yeah.
I mean, it's preposterous. And knowing that that would bring down Germany and hinder any, quote, democratic reforms, it was meant, just as the Treaty of Versailles was meant, to really bring about another major conflict in Europe that then would have to be, quote, solved, unquote, by another major war, claiming the lives of almost three times as many people as World War One, and all of it financed a tremendous cost to the taxpayers of the countries by the international banking interests. Again, the same nefarious elements that created the conditions that led to World War One. Fascinating, huh?
Yeah, all the major concerns reap huge profits from both World War One and World War Two, and particularly World War One was important because the old royal systems of Austria, Russia, and Germany had a great degree of control over their currencies, particularly in Russia. And almost every time I've been on your show and other radio shows, I say the same thing. The Tsar in Russia had to go because he had refused to give power of the currency over to a privately controlled bank.
Over to the Rothschilds.
Yeah. The Rothschild family in England had financed Alexander Harrison, the great liberal leader of the mid-19th century.
Yeah.
They financed much of the early revolutionary movement. And then the British built up Japanese power against Russia. And then the Japanese, in the beginning of the 20th century, also financed a great degree of the revolutionary movement was financed from abroad. And in fact, in Alan Moorhead's book on the Russian Revolution, the German government during World War One was paying strikers in St. Petersburg a mark and a half a day for every day that they were on strike.
Wow.
The idea was to knock Russia out of the war and then to break the Allies that way. But as far as war reparations, my personal opinion is that Austria-Hungary is responsible for the beginning of World War One. But whatever your opinion is on who started World War One, to put all the blame on Germany is absolutely absurd, and particularly when the royal government had been driven out of the country anyway.
That's very interesting. I happen to be reading, and I don't have it in front of me, but a story about Zionism and colonialism, and how Napoleon himself first attempted to construct a network of Jews loyal to the French Empire throughout Europe. And I don't know how familiar you are with that, but that's a story in itself that goes back. It goes to show you how many centuries ago these powerful banking interests were setting up their little kingdoms and dictators to go to war for benefit, ultimately, of this Zionist dream, you know?
Yeah, well, the development of modern states and modern standing armies, you know, everything that came out of the destruction of the Middle Ages is what led to our present situation.
Right.
Governments become more and more expensive, wars become bloodier, and governments are forced to go to major banking concerns to finance this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And who controls the currency controls the economy, and who controls the economy controls the country.
Mm-hmm.
It really is not a difficult thing to put together in one's mind.
Right, right. What was the story on the Roosevelt administration? I know they had been thoroughly involved in secret war plans with Churchill. In fact, Joe Persico, I don't know if you've read his book, one that I've quoted quite extensively on Roosevelt's secret war, that's the title of it, he details a lot of the fake, false information that Churchill was leading Roosevelt, and then Roosevelt was then foisting on the American public and the media, particularly that alleged Nazi plan to take over South America, and there were 6,000 German troops already in one of the countries, and of course all of it was based on maps that had been faked. And then when the media asked for the proof, Roosevelt said, I can't reveal the sources because that would disrupt the flow of information, you know. And they were all fake. They turned out to be false and totally untrue. And, you know, Churchill and Roosevelt were conspiring to find that backdoor entrance into World War II. And they found it, you know, obviously through Japan.
Yeah, the war that made the world safe for Stalin and Mao.
And Israel.
Yeah, well, and then, of course, leading to the state of Israel. You know, the number of corpses, you quote numbers like 30 and 40 million. You know, after a while, it doesn't mean anything. The numbers just roll off the tongue. Stalin said one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic.
Mm.
It's you know, but I'm supposed to say that this is a good war because Stalin won and then created Mao, and then Mao created Pol Pot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm supposed to say that this was a wonderful war because either Israel was created or Hitler was defeated. It was Roosevelt who the first American president to recognize Stalin. Roosevelt praised Stalin.
Yep.
And I'm sick of the mythology that the U.S. was an opponent of Marxism during the Cold War.
Yep.
For every time the U.S. Fought a communist country, it supported another one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a constant bait and switch routine. And the manipulation of establishment liberals and establishment conservatives in this phony war of rhetoric is just designed to manipulate and control the public to break out of this ridiculous pseudo debate is absolutely essential for our people these days.
Well, it is unfortunate that we have almost, as a nation, no honest media at all any longer, and that most of them are so biased and so enveloped by leftism and adoration, if you will, of Marxism, that they're willing to overlook, as John Reed did in Russia, as you know, and people like Walter Duranty, they're willing to overlook the murders of tens of millions of people in glorification of them, of the murderers of Mao and Stalin and Lenin and Trotsky, simply because that's their kindred ideology. I mean, the left and Marxism, communism, mass murder, you know, Stalinism, these were all acceptable, you know. It just happened that Hitler got in the way, and Hitler wanted to defeat the communists going eastward in Europe, and we thought, well, that was a terrible thing. After all, Hitler was such a madman, and he, you know, he killed more people than existed, and, you know, we had to go and forge this alliance with Stalin against the better judgment of previous presidents and major senators and people who had studied the issue thoroughly, knowing Roosevelt was a Marxist himself. And he would joke about that. Roosevelt would joke about it, that his enemies call him a communist. You know, the incredible nature of how we've been lied to is just defies the imagination. All right, Matt Johnson, my guest. He's not going to be with us too long. Jump aboard. Get a question or comment. 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams, Uncensored Radio Free America.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio.
Hey, we're back now with Dr. Matt Johnson, and he is helping me shatter a few myths tonight, and he's the guy to do it. He's a most knowledgeable man, and he has a journal. Website, RusJournal.com, R-U-S-Journal, one word, .com. And that's really the, what is it, the American Journal of Slavic Studies?
The American Journal of Russian and Slavic Studies,
Right, right.
And I deal overwhelmingly with Russia, Ukraine, and to some extent the former Yugoslavia.
Good. We'll get into some of that, too. But we do have questions and comments for you already. 1-800-313-9443 is the number. Let me start with Jim in Texas. Hello, Jim.
Yeah, am I on?
You're on the air with Matt Johnson.
Yeah, you're talking about Rudolf Hess. When he flew to England in 1941, I believe it was May 41,
mm-hmm.
from the actually before the Second World War started, Hitler was bending over backwards, or Germany was,
mm-hmm.
to come to any accommodation with England. They absolutely did not want war with England and
mm-hmm.
France.
That's
under
true.
Any circumstance. And they sat there where the British fleet came over and rescued them there in France.
Mm-hmm. Dunkirk.
That was the Battle of Dunkirk.
Yeah, Dunkirk. They sat there. They had several armored divisions that could have just completely annihilated.
They could have wiped out the British.
They could have wiped them out in a matter of a day and a half. They could have all been dead if they wanted to, dead or captured. But they sat there because Hitler considered it a goodwill gesture. You know, I don't really want war with you guys. My problem is with the East. And that's what they always considered their problem was with the Russians, with the communists. And nobody knows that because you'll never hear it on American news media. But anyhow, that's the reason, one of the main reasons, this was kind of a last-ditch effort because they knew a war with Russia was coming in May of 41 because the Russians had something like 185 divisions stationed on the Polish border ready to invade Germany, and they knew it. And it was a last-ditch effort to make some sort of peace with the English and where they could turn their attention to Russia, which was getting ready to overrun them. And there was a Russian general or something that wrote a book on it called Icebreaker or something like that, detailing how the Russians were all prepared to attack. They had something like 35,000 tanks.
And yet today you'll hear these so-called scholars claim that those papers were a forgery, that the Germans forged them as an excuse, you know, to continue their expansion in Europe.
Right,
and,
right.
The Soviets had the best of intentions, you know.
That's why when the Germans invaded Russia, they captured something like 3 million Russians in the first 6 weeks of the war. And how did there happen to be 3 million Russian troops right on the border there close where they could capture them if they weren't stationary getting ready to, you know, invade? Because nobody says, wait a minute, logically, this doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You can't capture troops that aren't there.
Do you have any specific question for Matt? Because time is short.
Yeah, okay. Well, I guess that's about it.
All right. Well, Matt, do you have any response to what he said? I mean, you're a historian. You pretty much know these facts to be true. But any comment to Jim?
Well, Jim is absolutely correct. And really, the book that I would go to is by the late Joachim Hoffman, who wrote Stalin's War of Extermination. That really is essentially a documentary record of the fact that the Soviets, not the Russians, the Soviets, Stalin was not a Russian, neither was Khrushchev, neither was Brezhnev, neither was Chernenko, neither was Lenin. None of these guys were actually Russian. But he has the documentary evidence in a very large and very ponderous book on Stalin's war plans to invade Germany. And that's, you know, Icebreaker got the thing started. Joachim Hoffman kind of gave the documentary evidence that was absolutely necessary. So Jim is right on the money as far as all this goes.
All right, Jim. Any other questions specifically?
No, I guess that's about it for
now. All right, good. You're a good student. You know your history.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we appreciate that. Before we take the next call, we're up against the break pretty quickly. I see that on your website, you know, you deal with with various things, the so-called conversion of Russia, the Fatima movement, and there's been a lot of controversy about that. And your website is certainly no shy away from controversy. You certainly have your, you know, people that agree with you and people that disagree. But it's an intellectual discourse, to say the least. That's what I admire so much about it, Matt. You really get into intellectualism.
Yeah, well, and there's two ways to approach it. I mean, I have enemies that just want to call me names, and we just ignore those people.
I do, too.
But, you know, we have people who want to give a more scholarly critique of things, and those people we need to take very seriously. And we have an obligation to answer them in the best way that we possibly can, in hopes of converting them. The people on the fence, the people who really don't know what to believe, and who are asking questions, these are the people who we need to approach and simply give the truth to in a way that they could use. In my case, I'm really aiming this to college students and grad students.
Yes.
So they could use things in papers and cite things. And, you know, I'm really giving them source material, names and figures and organizations that they could use and that they can cite.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I really want to, you know, open myself up, particularly to college students and grad students who want to get the other side of the story.
Are they receptive? Do you find they're not all that brainwashed, and you can work with them?
There is a minority who are not brainwashed, but they are petrified.
They're scared to death of what might happen to them if they say the wrong thing. They know that they could be beaten up with impunity, and that's a fact.
Well, all you have to do is look at Ernst Zundel and people like that to find out how dangerous it can be. All right, Matt, stay where you are. We'll take Henry next and your calls on Uncensored Radio Free America with Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding the bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Hi, this is John Sattler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103. And let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line out and external line in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719. 800-724-2719.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, we're back now, and Matt Johnson's with us. He can't stay for the 2 hours, but he can stay for a little bit. So if you got a quick question about history, particularly Russia and Russian history, Slavic history, get on the line now, 800-313-9443 with Rick Adams. Matt, let's take another call here. There's Henry in Connecticut. Hello, Henry.
Yes.
Hey, you're on with Matt Johnson, Dr. Matt Johnson. With me.
Yeah, hi. You said there's a difference between Russian and Soviet and Lenin and them. What is the difference, though? I thought a Soviet describes a political party.
That's right. The Soviet Union was a multinational empire.
Right.
Russia
okay.
was an administrative unit, the largest administrative unit, but it was an administrative unit within this empire.
Right. Okay, now what I do have a question that has to do with Rudolf Hess. Correct me if I'm wrong, maybe this is a lie or a rumor, but There's something circulating that Hess was murdered after he was in jail, and that it might have been, I don't necessarily believe it, but there might have been a double or something.
After that Hess article was published, a reader sent me in material claiming just that. The material showed photographs of Hess's plane before it took off from Germany. Another photograph of the plane that wrecked in England. The markings on the tail were different in both pictures. There was a couple of other pieces of evidence I found intriguing, but, you know, there's also a question about his wife. Now, I have a series of authorities that claim his wife visited him regularly and always accepted this person as Rudolf Hess. I have another series of authorities that say his wife privately denied that that was Rudolf sitting in the cell. I frankly don't know what to believe. It's not one of my big issues.
Right.
But I am convinced that whoever it was in that cell was murdered. And the reason is that he was hung in such a way the claim is that it was a suicide, and yet the way he was hung and what he had to do to get himself up there to hang himself in the first place.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
he,
heard
at that,
that
time
too.
Was an elderly, frail man, and it really stretches the imagination.
Yeah, I heard that too. Not only that, I'd like to know, why was he even put there to begin with? Because him and Carl Dönitz and I think even Albert Speer, they didn't really do anything. So, but they have a
well. That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah. Okay, all right, I guess I'll skip that one.
No, I'm just saying, the whole idea was to silence him.
To silence anything he had to say. You know, he was Hitler's deputy, not deputy secretary in the sense of other type of work, but dealing stuff with the party. Now, Hess was around even in the 20s. Hess went in even in Hitler's cell when he was writing his book, My Struggle, Mein Kampf. Could it be that Hess may have met and or either overseed or even listened in on the dealings between some of the financiers coming in, you know, channeling money to the party that a lot of were American, and maybe he could have spilled the beans on a lot of things he knew too much about stuff before they came to power, much less even after. And
Matt address that.
Okay.
Go ahead, Matt.
There's a huge controversy out there exactly who financed the National Socialist Party.
Right.
There's a group of people led by, well, there's a number of them, John DeNugent and others, who claim that, no, Hitler was not financed by outside capital. In fact, he was at war with outside capital. Others make the claim that he couldn't have done what he did without outside funding. The only group that I hear regularly is that the Rockefellers in America were interested in Hitler's ideas on eugenics, and that's why they were sending money to him. But as far as other financing, I'm really not in a position to comment one way or the other.
Right, but Hess may also knew the stuff going on with the business with the Russians, the stuff during the war and even after the war, because from what I understand, didn't the Americans even take a lot of stuff out of the SS files, like out of Himmler's office that dealt with the Eastern Front? I mean, because we had a lot of pro-communists running this government, in our government, and that's one of the main things that Hitler was fighting. And so I'm wondering if they, you know, I heard a lot of stuff was taken that they could, if they could get a hold of it, you know. There was a lot of things that were taken.
The truckloads of stuff. You're absolutely right. Truckloads of material. Much of it is still sealed today.
Yeah. You
the
know where it's sealed? Like if somebody were to try to find it?
No. I have no idea, and I have the feeling I'm not alone in having no idea.
Yeah, somebody says it's under some vaults underneath the somewhere in Maryland, somewhere.
Well, that would make sense. It's probably where Martin Luther King's file is sealed.
Right, that there were some files that they kept some vault in Maryland just outside of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where they maybe may have went, been kept. But I'm still wondering if that guy was murdered. And, you know, I think he did know far too much because, I mean, he had to do all the paperwork and not necessarily with the war, but the business dealings and stuff with the party, as well as oversee other things. I mean, I've even seen pictures where Hess wasn't directly making decisions, but like he was like sitting down listening or maybe across the room or something. So, I mean, he had to know quite a bit, you know.
I really think you're onto something. He was very dangerous. He did know a lot. He was involved, like you say, right back in the 1920s.
Yeah.
And I think, again, the thing with Milosevic is identical.
Yeah.
Milosevic was spilling the beans all over the place about NATO's financing and what they were doing and what they were targeting in Yugoslavia. Mm-hmm. And numerous times they had to turn off the power on the microphone.
Right.
You have a very similar situation.
Right. And also, I found out is that they tried to portray, the whole purpose was they just wanted to get into Yugoslavia. And, of course, it would be a guerrilla warfare but if they did on the ground. But Clinton and them wanted to get in there for some of the resources there.
Yeah.
And oil. There's oil over there, too. Isn't there in Serbia? A lot of oil?
No, there isn't. But
it's a major transit point
for Caspian Sea oil coming into Western Europe. It's an extremely strategic area. And
Right. There's not oil there, but it's kind of like geographically it would be useful. Right. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Henry,
okay, I'm
going to
go.
Move along, but thanks. Good
questions. I'm going to go. Bye.
Okay. All right. You raises good questions and thought-provoking. And, speaking about Japan in World War II as well, someone had mentioned to me the other day that one of the reasons that the Japanese had become so dictatorial and they had a very firm emperorship was because of the fear of the Bolsheviks after World War I. Is that true or not, Matt? Is that one of the reasons they became so solidified, the Empire of Japan?
Well, I'm not so sure it was the emperor. The Japanese government was taken over by the military, and I just really wonder how much power the emperor had. I don't think he had all that much.
Mm-hmm.
Was
there a fear of the Bolsheviks there that contributed to that militarism?
Japan wasn't particularly involved in World War One.
Well, I'm thinking in the 30s leading into World War II.
I have never come across any particular Red Scare in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is that Japanese expansion was something that was necessary to counter the British.
To
counter, not to mention, American expansionism in the Pacific, particularly in the Philippines, and to create a resource organization because Japan is resourceless.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I've always respected the Japanese people because they've created an extraordinary civilization in a country that's essentially a group of rocks sticking up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like Iceland in that regard. Mm-hmm. And I have never come across any particular of course, the Japanese government was anti-communist,
mm-hmm.
and they did fear the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, only near the end of the war did Stalin see any action against the Japanese, but that was always a problem. Domestically speaking, I have never come across any particular worry about native Japanese Bolshevism.
You know, all these Bolsheviks that were freely operating in the Roosevelt administration, you know, Harry Dexter White and company, the State Department, you know, and when Joe McCarthy came on the scene, he was merely quoting FBI reports that the Attorney General under Eisenhower deliberately ignored, Brownell. And, the fact is that the Venona intercepts pretty well document the widespread control that Stalin had over the American government in affording him the opportunity to engage in wholesale slaughter in Europe with Eisenhower in command. In fact, one of the British historians had written Eisenhower was in direct communication with his Soviet counterparts even before contacting his superiors in Washington, and that doesn't surprise me at all either. But the fact is that when you ask a simple question like this, Matt, Roosevelt, how could he and how could this media be so corrupt as to talk about the alleged threat to the world by Germany and Japan, when here there was no greater threat than the threat that obviously was the creation of the United States for the communists in the European theater, and then the greatest threat of all, Red China, coming into fruition with a stroke of the pen from General George Marshall, who was instrumental in the Pearl Harbor debacle. I mean, how in the world can you even compare the two? You know, there was no threat to us from Germany, no threat to us from Japan, quite the contrary. And yet that's all we've heard from the so-called mainstream propaganda media. Nothing but pure propaganda.
It is nothing but propaganda. And thank God for the Internet, because for all the crap that's on it, it is a place where young people are going to get the other side. And there's now no excuse for not hearing our points of view from any intelligent person, because they could find it on a million websites, mine and yours included.
That's right.
But you know, the reality is simply this. Marxism and communism has always been the plaything of the wealthy elite classes of Western Europe and America.
Mm-hmm.
They were its biggest supporters, and the main reason that finance capital, like the Bolsheviks, was that they were controlling all economic transactions from one place. That is every banker's dream.
Mm-hmm.
And in the West at the time, obviously, you know, business was not nationalized. And in the Soviet Union, it was. And American capital had no problem selling products to the Soviet Union. They had no problem bailing. The Soviet Union would have disappeared before the NEP in the 1920s.
Yeah. Dr. Armin Hammer and the rest of that crowd, the Bushes.
Including a small army of American capitalists were financing not just the Bolshevik Party, you know, during World War One, but all throughout the 20s and the 30s.
Right. Stalin Company, yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Well, there is a split opinion about Stalin. There are Russian nationalists who do like Stalin, viewing him as somebody who backslided on Bolshevism and became sort of a nationalist. And
yeah,
I've heard that. Yeah, I've heard it.
It certainly doesn't exonerate him from his crimes against humanity at all. But I know what's being said, and that was part of the red division in the United States between the Stalinists and those who were who had a bone to pick with Stalin, particularly some of the more militant Jewish Zionists who felt that Stalin had betrayed them. You know, so the saying goes.
So you're really right, and I think Russians right now are so desperate for serious leadership that a lot, particularly the older generation, are looking back on this as some kind of a very strange golden era in 20th century society. I don't buy any of that, but it just shows you how bad things have gotten, particularly in the 1990s in Russia itself.
Sure. Absolutely. All right, let's take Keith is next. Hello, Keith. You're on the program with Matt Johnson.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. First of all, as far as Stalin is concerned, yes, he was guilty of a lot of terrible things, but when you compare Stalin's society to American society, I think Stalin's society comes out a lot more favorable. In Stalinist Russia, there were no black ghettos, for example. Homosexuality was against the law. There was no gambling. Pornography was virtually unknown, and
it sounds like a workers' paradise you're describing.
The Soviet government encouraged people to listen to Tchaikovsky and Brahms, not hip hop and rap. So I think there were a lot of what we might have to call conservative elements in the Soviet
Union. What do you think of that, Matt Johnson? Is that too much to swallow?
Well, you know, that was kind of what I was mentioning a few minutes ago, that there is a substantial percentage of Russian opinion who happens to agree precisely with what he's saying. And the caller neglected to mention he also banned abortion to increase the Russian population.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that Lenin and Kollontai and the original group, Trotsky, they were not interested in that kind of thing. A lot of Russian nationalists like Stalin because he did introduce certain things. He liberalized laws against the church, for example, because he needed Orthodox support in terms of Soviet foreign policy.
Right.
You know, and then economically, both Hitler and Stalin saw huge growth rates, GDP growth rates every year. I mean, Stalin and Hitler were 15-17% a year in terms of growth. But still, in Stalin's case, it came at a massive cost. It just came at too big of a cost. And yet what the caller says is essentially correct. But it's not a place that I think we would want to live.
Okay. One or two other points, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I'm just wondering, Dr. Johnson, what your views on the protocols of the learned elders of Zion might be.
Uh-huh.
There's one passage there where the international Jew promises to use the power of Japan and China and America against all the enemies of the Jewish Empire. So,
mm-hmm.
And it did turn out in 1905 that Jewish bankers financed the Japanese Empire to destroy the Tsarist Empire in the Russian-Japanese
mm-hmm.
War. So I'm just curious what your views on the Protocols of Zion might be.
It's funny. You know, I just read them again a few months ago. I do accept the basic opinion that it is essentially a forgery. Tsar Nicholas II believed that they were forgeries. I think that the writing is extremely artless and is extremely poor.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, you know, to find the real item, I would simply read Leon Trotsky.
All right, hang on, both of you gentlemen. We got a quick break. We'll be right back with our caller and our guest, Matt Johnson. And we'll be right back in 3 minutes. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Back now, we have Keith on the line, and Keith, you had another, first you wanted Dr. Johnson to completely answer your question about the learned elders of Zion, then you had another question. Matt, did you complete your response? You think they were a forgery?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Keith, you have a counter to that?
I do indeed.
All right.
I think the problem is owing to maybe the imperfect translation from Russian into English. I also understand that the Tsar Nicholas had a heavily annotated, dog-eared copy of the protocols where he wrote things in the margins such as, I absolutely agree with this passage. So I think the Tsar was actually, as was Henry Ford, of course, a true believer in the protocols, Dr. Johnson.
Well, I know for a fact Nicholas II had rejected them. I have no doubt that he read them very substantially. The translation that I'm using is originally Henry Ford's. And I have actually his foreword in the beginning, which I've read a couple of times. My opinion is that it simply is written very artlessly, and I know Russian good enough, and it's just one of these things. Frankly, I don't care that much. And
what do you think of the Diary of Anne Frank?
Oh well, that's a different matter. That's a different matter. And in fact, when I was at the Barnes Review, we received so many pieces on that.
Uh-huh.
But the people who believed it was a forgery all disagreed with each other as to why.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of people who had rejected the ballpoint pen thing,
mm-hmm.
Claiming that it was never used in the original diary. Mm-hmm. Others used that quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. There were many, many critiques of her alleged diary that the uncle had written it for her, and of course there was a court case, as you remember, that dealt specifically with that diary.
Yeah, and Mike Piper had specifically mentioned that in an article of his.
Yes.
And in fact, the uncle won.
Yes.
Essentially, he won the copyright case, so that pretty much is the end of the story.
Except for Hollywood.
I'm sorry.
Yes, Keith,
Anne Frank's Anne Frank's father, when he was asked about the diary, he basically said it was something to the effect of an interpretation of my daughter's wartime experience. So the impression I get is that it was just basically he'd used a lot of artistic license, shall we say.
Yes. Did you have another question?
I did. One last thing. Yes, thank
sure.
you. I'm rereading the autobiography of Il Duce, Benito Mussolini.
Uh-huh.
And as you know, during the First World War, Italy was unfortunately on the side of with the Allies against the Central Powers. But Mussolini writes that Italy was betrayed at the Versailles Conference and by the League of Nations after World War One. Some of their land had to be given over to Yugoslavia, that sort of thing. So I'm just wondering what Dr. Johnson's opinions of Il Duce might be and the rise of the fascist movement in Italy after World War One.
Good questions.
Thank you very much. John.
All right. Matt, you have time. Go ahead.
Well, one of Mussolini's central notions was that there is no nation without the state, that the state is the builder of the national entity. And that's something so fundamental, and yet I disagree vehemently with it. There were certain economic things that Mussolini did that worked very well. Unemployment was fairly low.
Don't forget the trains ran on time.
And they did run on time. Mussolini is not someone I spend a whole lot of time worrying about. He was one of the, as a Serbophile, it's difficult for me to deal with Mussolini because he was really the creator of the NDH in Croatia.
Mm-hmm.
and had assisted them partially in order to get some of the land back in the extreme northern part of Yugoslavia,
mm-hmm.
Part of Slovenia, Trieste, and places like this. That he wanted, and there was a conspiracy with Bulgaria and Hungary as well. It's very complicated politically.
Can we pick up on this and you stay a little bit more?
No, Rick, unfortunately, I really have to run.